Well, this evening we're going to continue our series on the miracles of Christ. Mark chapter number 1. If you can please turn with me in your Bibles there to Mark chapter number 1. Thank you for being here tonight. Over this past month of April, we've been focusing on the subject of missions. And we had a short little series in April looking at the miracles on the mission field. And we were encouraged to be reminded not only to pray for our missionaries, but also reminded that the Lord does the miraculous. He does the miraculous on the mission field in His work, and we can be encouraged as we witness for Him. But tonight we're going back to the miracles of Christ, and we are up to this next miracle in Mark chapter 1. Notice with me from verses 35 to 45. Please look at verse 35 to begin with. As we read these verses, the Bible says in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils." Verse 40. "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out, and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we need your help tonight as we open your word, as we open our hearts. Father, reveal to us whom your Son truly is. And Father, for those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, Lord, we know who Christ is, yet, Father, we desire a deeper relationship with Him. Lord, we desire to draw nigh to our Savior this evening. Lord, reveal whom You are through Your precious Word to us tonight. May the Holy Spirit of God revive our hearts. May He revive our love for Thee. And may we be, Lord, a people that live by faith. Lord, not only trusting in You to do the miraculous in our lives, but also, Lord, to be sure to bring others to Christ, others in need, in desperate need of a Savior. And Lord, we pray that You would use Your Word to work in our hearts this evening. And Father, may You help us to worship You as we hear from Thee. May You be glorified this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you remember, about a month ago, we were looking at the miracles of Christ, and one of the messages we saw from verses 21 to 28 here in Mark chapter 1, we saw how the Lord went into a synagogue and He cast out a devil, a demon, from a demon-possessed man. Now, we learned some lessons from that miracle. And as we went on, remember, continuing to be the same day, the Lord continued His miraculous work, didn't He? We find Him afterwards, just like a Baptist, a good Baptist fellowship would have, some lunch after the morning service. We find the Lord in Peter's house, and Peter's mother wanted to prepare a meal for them. Peter's mother wanted to be hospitable, but she was sick. She was sick with a fever. And we were encouraged to see that the Lord not only cares about the great things, but also the small things. The Lord is certainly one who wants us to come to Him for every need. We saw Peter's mother instantly healed and she ministered to them, but the Lord's day didn't end there, did it? Do you remember the Lord went forth and continued to preach, and the multitudes, the masses, came to Him? The Bible says in verses 32 to 34, the Bible says, and all the city, in verse 33, was gathered together at the door, verse 34, and He healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew Him. So the Lord was showing forth His love through His miraculous work. He was showing forth the proof that what He was preaching is the Word of God by His miraculous work. Now, as we come to this next miracle, you and I would think that after such a huge day of ministry, the Lord would take a week off and would have some rest. Notice what the Bible tells us in verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day. Now, you and I would have slept in. Amen. Rising a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Here we find the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. And the Lord gives us a wonderful example His reliance on God the Father and His need to bring everything He was doing before the need of a supernatural working. And we know the Lord was weary. We know the Lord was a God robed in human flesh, and yet He still prayed. As His disciples came to Him, they told Him that everyone's looking for you. Everyone is seeking to find you. And the Lord tells them, well, it's time to move on, because remember, disciples, I haven't just come to perform the miraculous. The Lord did not come down from the glories of heaven simply to do things to get people's attention. He didn't just simply come to heal the sick and the lame. His miraculous work was to confirm His miraculous word, and then His miraculous works on the cross, of course, for salvation. And He said to His disciples, I need to go and preach. I need to go and preach. Now, those false teachers who say that the Lord Jesus Christ was just a teacher and He was not a preacher, well, our Bibles tell us that Christ preached, amen. He declared the Word of God, and that's why He was sent forth. That's why He came, to preach the gospel of salvation. Verse 39 tells us he was preaching throughout the synagogues, throughout Galilee, and suddenly in verse 40, a man came to Him and arrested the attention of the Lord. Now, this was no ordinary man. The Bible says that this man was, in fact, a leper. And what we see in this wonderful miracle is that this single man not only caught the Lord's attention, but he experienced the divine compassion and love that only God Himself could give. Tonight we are going to look at the miracle of the leper cleansed for a few moments here from Mark chapter number 1. Now notice first of all, what does the Bible tell us in verse 40? Well, the Bible describes to us something about this man. Notice there in your Bibles, and there came a leper to Him. Now, this person wasn't just like anyone else in the crowd. In fact, he stood out from the crowd because he was, in fact, a leper. He was a leper. Now, today, leprosy is curable in modern because of modern medicine. But back in Bible times, leprosy was a disease that was incurable. It was a hopeless disease. And this man was a hopeless man. Now, in fact, in Bible times, leprosy was the most feared disease because it was contagious, it had no cure, and it spread, so therefore it was a feared disease. It was feared like no other disease in Bible times. Leprosy was a disease that affected the whole body. Scaly spots would develop on the skin, and as the disease spread, the whole body would be covered with bumps and pus-filled sores. Now, nodules would even grow on the leper's vocal cords so that his voice would change. and deepen and would no longer be able to speak clearly. The body would slowly waste away. And we could say a leprous person was like a dead man walking. Their body was in a state of decomposition. So that's why those who had the horrible disease of leprosy, they smelled. They smelled as if their body was literally wasting away. Leprosy also attacks the nervous system. So that means a person struck down with this disease could no longer feel a measure of pain. You know, they could step on something sharp and injure their foot and not know about it. And suddenly that foot would become infected and that foot could in fact drop off and fall off from the body. You know, a leper could reach into a fire to pick something up and not know that they had been severely burned. Leprosy was a feared disease. It was a horrible disease. One doctor in a third world country would often send a cat home with a leprous patient because rats and other vermin would feed on the leper's body while they slept. Now, I agree with Brother Keck this morning. That's probably one of the only few purposes for having a cat at home. You know, at the end of the day, leprosy was a horrible disease. A horrible disease. One of the worst parts of it, of course, was because of the isolation that leprosy brought. You see, no one wanted to be around a leper. Why? Why do you think that would be? Well, they didn't want to catch it. Now, you and I would be the same. You know, stay away. We don't want that. And a leper was feared and isolated. Now, in the book of Leviticus, God gives his plan for how to deal with leprosy. Not in a cruel way, but in a loving way. Not in a foolish way, but in a careful way in the book of Leviticus. But by the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, the religious Jews had added much to the law. They had added man's thinking to the law. And those with leprosy were treated very, very cruelly. If a leper, for example, stuck his head inside someone's home, that house was considered unclean. If a leper was walking even down the road at a distance, it was against the law to greet them, to speak to them, according to the religious Jews. It was in fact unlawful for a leper to approach within 50 feet of a clean person, and if it was a windy day, that distance became 200 feet. You see, they were ostracized from the community. They were isolated and looked down upon. As they approached a crowd, they would have to declare those words, unclean, unclean. But so often what the crowd would do, they would pick up stones to stone him, to keep him away. You see, a leprous person was a hopeless person. They were diseased, and that disease would ultimately lead to an inevitable end. Now, as we see this man in need come to the Lord, this hopeless person, you and I might be saying this evening, well, what can we learn from his example? Well, one thing we know from the scriptures is that leprosy not only is a horrible disease, but it is also a picture of sin. Leprosy is a picture of sin. You see, the Bible tells us that death exists in the world because of what? Sin. Disease exists in the world because of what? Sin. For the wages of sin is death. And you see, leprosy is a picture of sin. Notice what we learn in the book of Leviticus, and I'll just share these things with you. You don't need to look there, but Leviticus chapter 13 tells us that a leprosy starts off as a small spot, and then it spreads. So a leper who is being afflicted by this disease will see a small, tiny white spot on their body, but one day it would be all over their body and would consume their entire flesh. Now, what a picture of sin that is, isn't it? What a picture of sin that is. Now, King David would agree that that is certainly a picture of sin. Just one little spot can ruin an entire life. Think about King David. One little sin. You know, he was in bed in the evening when kings were meant to be out on the battlefield and engaging in war, and David arose in the evening from his bed. Just a little bit of laziness, that's all. You might say, hey, that's not such a big deal. Well, you see, laziness
leads to other sins. And as he went out onto his rooftop, what did he see? He saw a naked woman, which he should have turned away from, but his laziness led to the next sin of lust. So he just began as a little spot. And then it began to spread, and his lust turned into adultery, and his adultery turned into lying, and his lying turned into murder. You see, just a little sin in your life and mine will wreak destruction, will multiply. You see, leprosy is a picture of sin. We dare not leave sin unchecked. We dare not leave sin unconfessed. We dare not leave sin just there in our lives, undealt with. Leprosy starts off small and spreads. Leprosy defiles everything it touches. You see, when a person was struck with leprosy, they were completely defiled. They were completely corrupted. And likewise, sin works the same way. Sin completely corrupts a man's being. Sin will poison not only your life, but also your family's lives. Sin spreads. And if we allow sin in our lives, it spreads to family members, it spreads to husbands, it spreads to wives, it spreads to our children, it spreads to the next generation, it spreads to others, and it poisons everything it touches. Sin spreads. Sin also isolates. You see, the leper was isolated from the camp in the book of Leviticus. He was unclean, so he had to be isolated from others. He was forced to dwell alone. He was an outcast. And likewise, the effects of sin are exactly the same. Sin separates. You see, the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. The word death means separation. And that's why you and I never deserve to go to heaven, because we are sinners. We are all corrupted. You and I are just as, if you will, this leprous, hopeless person, because our lives are defiled by sin. Now, none of us have leprosy here tonight. But you and I were born sinners. You and I are sinners by birth and by choice. We are sinners. And the Bible tells us that just like this leprous man, we deserve to be separated from God forever. We deserve the judgment of this disease of sin. You see, this man was a hopeless man, wouldn't you agree? And friends, this man needed something that he did not have. You see, just like leprosy, sin is incurable. There is no doctor in the world that can cure the disease of sin. There is no magician in the world that could wash away the pollution of sin. You see, this man was in need of a miracle, was he not? This man was in need of one that could help him. Now, we don't know how he found out about the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe one day he woke up and he heard about Jesus of Nazareth. He heard about his healing works. Maybe he just heard about the mass healing as the Lord healed those with devils and those with diseases. Maybe he woke up one day and said, if he can cure those, maybe he could cure me. You see, faith arose in the heart of this leper. Just imagine him for a moment with this terrible disease approaching the Lord. Imagine what the crowds around the Lord Jesus Christ thought. Put yourself in their position. Imagine crowding around the Lord Jesus, hearing him preaching, and suddenly you see a leper pushing into the crowd. Imagine their shrieks of horror. Would you agree with me that it would have taken some courage for this leper to come to the Lord? It would have taken some boldness. Why? Why? What was the consequence? What was the punishment of a leper approaching a crowd like that? It was death, stoning, instant death, or even worse. This man had some courage. Where did his courage come from? Well, I believe we see a wonderful rising up of faith in this man's heart. Rising up of hope. You see, he was a hopeless man, but there was hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only hope of humanity. Friends, the Bible tells us that we are all sinners. We are all outcasts. All around the world, the disease of sin has contaminated mankind throughout all history. And Christ Jesus is the only one whom we can come to have hope and be cleansed. And you see, this man came to the Lord Jesus Christ in hope and in faith. And you know, that's how the Lord works in our hearts. When we realize, just like this leprous man, that we are hopeless, that we are horrendously contaminated with sin, that you and I are, in fact, as the Bible says, wicked in the sight of God. The Bible says, does it not, that all our righteousnesses are as what? Filthy rags. I believe that that picture of filthy rags is a description of the bandages, the cloth that wound around the leprous, pus-filled wounds of a leper. I believe that's what those filthy rags describe. And see, the good things that you and I think we do before God are in fact horrendously polluted and defiled before God. Why? Because we are all sinners. But this one was on the right track because he came to one that could help. He came to one whom he could put his hope in. And notice how he approached the Lord in verse 40. Verse 40 says, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him." Can you see the humility of the leper? Can you see the humility of the leper? Look, many people come to Jesus Christ today, but many people don't come humbly because they don't see themselves as wretches deserving of nothing. They see themselves as somehow preferred of God, that they've done something good and they just need a little bit of Jesus in their life to make a better life. They just need a little bit of Jesus to make them more financially prosperous. They just need a little bit more of Jesus to be a confident person in this difficult world of careers and finances. Many people come to Christ proudly. But few people come to Christ broken and needy and knowing that they deserve nothing. This man came humbly. He knelt down before the Lord. He fell to his feet. He pleaded with the Lord for help. Notice he also came in faith. Verse 40 says, "If thou wilt." Now he didn't know what the Lord would do. He didn't know what the Lord Jesus Christ would do. But he simply put that in the Lord's hands. Amen. He came in faith. Notice he says, "Thou canst make me clean." He believed that the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith, could cleanse him. He said, "I know who you are, and I believe that you can. I'm going to leave it in your hands. And Lord, I trust you to cleanse me. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And what a wonderful picture of a defiled, contaminated sinner coming to the Lord in humility. And is it not true as we read on? And you know what's to come. The Bible says if we come to him in humility and repentance, he will in no wise cast us out. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ is the remedy for sin. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. And thank God, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, the leprous man pictures you and I as sinners, hopeless, helpless in and of ourselves. But thank God that Christ is the one who can save. Thank God that is the reason why he came. Yes, he did the miraculous in his day. But friends, the greatest miraculous work that Christ came for was to shed his holy blood on the cross so that our sins may be paid for once and for all. So that the wrath of a holy God would be satisfied by the blood payment of the Son of God. And then as Christ rose again from the dead, everyone is invited to come, no matter who they are, for the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. Well, quickly, we've seen the leprous man. Secondly, we see a loving Savior. Now, you can imagine the crowd around the Lord Jesus, how they respond. You can see them fleeing away. I wonder by the time the leper got to him, if there was no one else standing around. But notice how the Lord responded. What would you and I have done? Notice what the Lord did. The Bible tells us in verse 41, "And Jesus moves with compassion." Not just in his heart, but in his actions. What does the Bible say next? "He put forth his hand." Now the Lord could have just spoken a word and he would have been clean. Is that true? Absolutely. We know at times the Lord just spoke a word and afar off, many kilometers away, someone was healed. But the Lord didn't choose to do that this time. The Bible tells us that the Lord put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, be thou clean. Notice the Lord's compassion. The word compassion means a feeling of deep sympathy. The Lord did not just feel sorry for this man. The Lord did not just say, hey, poor guy, let me give him a hand. No, the word compassion means a heart of sympathy that you and I would feel for our own family, our own brother, our own sister who perhaps is dying and is in need. A heartbreaking compassion. That's what the Bible describes the Lord Jesus had in his heart towards this man. You see, the Lord loved this stranger, this horribly defiled, outwardly and inwardly defiled man more than any other would ever love him. And I wonder when the last time was when this leprous man was touched. When was the last time that he felt a human touch? When was the last time that he was able to embrace his own family? His own friends. Remember, he was isolated from the world. He was isolated. What a picture of sin. What it does to the soul. But what a picture of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, But God commendeth his love toward us. How did God show the greatness of his love towards us? In that while we were horribly polluted, defiled, decrepit, foul, our sins stank in the sight of God, he commendeth his love towards us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ took upon himself our filthiness, our sin. In fact, the sin of humanity and mankind once and for all on the cross, and paid for our sins in his precious blood. The Bible tells us of the love of God. And in his miraculous work, we don't just see a miracle performed, but we see the true miracle himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. The miracle of his love, his compassion. Friends, this is a compassion that is beyond our understanding. And thank God it is the love of God. It is the love of God that has reached down into the world and is available for mankind today. You see, when Jesus reached out and touched this man, what was he communicating to him? What was he telling him? I love you. That's right. A love beyond anything this man could experience. I wonder if he wept, the leprous man. I wonder what he felt in his heart. Before we go on, thank God the Lord is still touching lives today. Amen. Amen. Thank God the Lord still welcomes wretched sinners to come to him today. Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ invites us to come to him. Thank God he says, come unto me. I am clean, but I want you to come. Bring your filthiness, bring your diseases, come humbly and with faith. Cast upon me your cares, and I will carry them. The Lord Jesus Christ offers full forgiveness through his grace and power. Let me ask you this evening, has there been a time in your life that you experienced the Lord Jesus Christ's miraculous touch, his miraculous cleansing from sin? You see, you may have come to Jesus Christ and realized, yes, there's a heaven, and yes, there's a hell, and hey, you don't want to go to hell, so you better ask Jesus to take you to heaven. But friend, was there ever a time in your life that you saw yourself as this leprous man saw himself? As a hopeless, helpless, defiled sinner before a holy God. Friends, the gospel message is simple. Even children can be saved, but children need to know that they too are sinners, helpless and hopeless before a God who is holy. Friends, sin is the disease, and Christ is the cure. But has there been a time in your life that you came to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance of your sin, and you cried out to the Lord just like this leprous man? Maybe you kneeled, maybe you cried out, maybe your eyes were filled with tears as you knew that the Lord Jesus Christ will save. He will keep his promises. If thou will, thou canst make me clean. Let me ask you this evening, have you experienced the once and for all cleansing from sin? You see, this man came to the right place, the right person. The Lord Jesus Christ showed his compassion
And then he gave a wonderful command. Notice quickly in verse number 41. And touched him, and saith unto him, I will be thou clean. Suddenly the Lord commanded the man to be clean. Suddenly he spoke the word of God. Suddenly the Lord Jesus Christ responded, did he not, to the poor, hopeless man's cries. What was the result? What was the miraculous event that took place that we are looking at tonight? Well, suddenly, the Bible tells us, and immediately, the man was clean. Amen. Sin had ruined his entire being. And instantly, at the very word of God, he was made clean. Instantly, because of the love of Jesus Christ, he was cleansed. Can you imagine with me his body suddenly transformed? No longer was his ruined skin decrepit and pus-filled, but instantly his skin was as smooth as a baby's. Instantly his disease was taken away. And everything changed when the Lord Jesus spoke. And he was brand new. Now I'm sure you're already there in your hearts. And you already see how leprosy is a picture of sin. And Christ's miracle here is a picture of salvation. The Bible tells us, does it not, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Jesus said, except the man be born again. Instantaneous forgiveness, cleansing, salvation. I used to be religious as I grew up. I went to the Roman Catholic Church at times at Easter and Christmas, and I prayed my prayers to Mary in the evening. I prayed my prayers to Jesus in the morning. I was doing my best to get to heaven, to try and cleanse myself, to try and be a better person. I didn't know about the gospel. I didn't know what it meant to be saved. I had no idea that Christ not only paid for our sins once and for all, but by coming to Him in simple humility and repentance and faith, we can be cleansed, not just that day, not just in that prayer or that religious act, but because of what Christ did on the cross, we can be cleansed for our sins forever. Amen. Our past, present, future sins cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, His blood makes a decrepit, filthy sinner whiter than snow. Not over a lifetime, but instantaneously. Because of His shed blood, every sinner that comes to Christ is cleansed forever by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, this man's healing is a picture of salvation. It's a picture of the new birth. No longer are we outcasts when we receive Jesus Christ as Savior. No longer are we aliens from God, as we've just sung. No longer are we living in the kingdom of darkness, but suddenly we are transported into and placed into the kingdom of His dear Son. We are not only one who is saved, but we are in fact a child of the King. We are adopted by the mercies of the Lord Jesus Christ into the very family of God. Clean and white. Can you imagine the picture of salvation with me? There's the leprous, filthy, decrepit one, suddenly clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's a picture of our salvation. Defiled by sin, but cleansed by Christ alone. What a wonderful, precious Savior we have. How can you and I ever hope to reach the gates of heaven? Well, we have a wonderful hope because of Christ Himself. The question is, have you come to Him for the full forgiveness of sins that He offers? Has there been a point in your life that, like this leprous man, you fell down upon the mercies of God and you cried out to Him to do His work of salvation once and for all? Now, friends, if you have, do we not have a wonderful Savior this evening? Aren't we, or shouldn't we be more thankful? You know, some of us are complaining about life's ifs and buts this evening. But at the end of the day, if we understand who we truly are as sinners and what Christ has done, our day ought to be overflowing with thankfulness. Our groanings ought to be overflowing with praises to Christ if we see ourselves as this leprous man. Thank God we aren't what we once were. And Christ is still at work in our lives as Christians, but what a loving Savior we have. Pictured here in this wonderful miracle. Now, I wish we could spend more time looking at the Lord's wonderful mercies and compassion, but I hope you see through His example
this evening. This goes beyond the healing of a leper. You see, as the Lord did the miraculous, He revealed His miraculous love. His miraculous love, the divine love of God. And the leper cleansed. I trust that you're rejoicing this evening in your salvation. I trust that Jesus Christ continues to be the one you come to do the miraculous, to rest upon His graces. Just the same way we were saved, the just shall live by faith. You and I can't get saved by any of strength of our own. Likewise, we can't live the Christian life in any strength of our own. We need the Lord's graces daily. Amen. We need His touch of grace, if you will, upon our lives, in our families, in our homes. As we look at the home this month of May, mothers, ladies, you don't have the power to be a godly mum in your home. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need His promises, amen. You need to cry out to the Lord Jesus to give you the strength to wake up in the morning when babies cry and you went to bed at midnight and you're so tired and your children are there in need the next day. You need the Lord's strength. You need the Lord's grace. Thank God He is a loving Savior. And as we approach Mother's Day, men also, we need the Lord's help to be the husbands, to be the fathers, to be the Christians that God wants us to be. But we need to come to Him and cry out to Him and plead His promises and rest upon His promises and knowing, if Thou wilt, Thou canst give me victory over sin. Thou canst cleanse me from this daily sin. Thou canst give me grace in this trial. What a wonderful Savior we have. Lastly, let me quickly close with these last few verses. As we read what happened to the leper, you know, I can't blame him for telling everyone he met about what had happened. You know, let's not be too hard on the leper, but we learn a lesson. We learn a lesson about a lost opportunity. See, the Lord Jesus Christ basically said to the leprous man, "This is what I want you to do." Now, we know what the leper wanted to do. He was no longer a leper. He wanted to approach men hearing the words, not unclean, but clean. He wanted everyone to see what the Lord had done for him. But the Lord gave him a specific command, didn't He? He may not have understood why, but the Bible tells us here, one thing we do know, that as this leprous man would go to the priest and fulfill the Old Testament commands of cleansing, according to which Moses gave in the book of Leviticus, it would be, notice at the end of verse 44, a what? A testimony unto them. Now remember, here's a thought. Had any of the priests in the Lord Jesus Christ's day ever seen a leper cleansed? Miraculously cleansed. Had they ever performed the commands in the Leviticus law? Now, according to what I looked at, apparently the last recorded cleansing of a leper before the Lord Jesus Christ was back in 2 Kings. So can you imagine all that time? Now, the priest knew the law, but what an amazing testimony this would have been of a leper who is now being cleansed, and we don't have time to go into the process that would have taken place, but the focus was on the blood, the cleansing blood once again, and that sacrifice that would be offered, and it was the blood that cleanses, it was the Messiah that had come, and what an amazing testimony it would have been to the priest and to those around him that there is one that has now come into the world that is able to cleanse from this wicked disease. He said the Lord knew what He was doing. And though we understand this leprous man would have been so excited to do what he felt like doing, the Lord gave him a command. And because he disobeyed, there was a lost opportunity. Because he spread abroad everywhere immediately what the Lord had done, the Bible tells us there in verse 45 that insomuch Jesus could no longer openly enter into the city. There were so many other lepers perhaps that had come to the Lord for healing that he could no longer go where he wanted to go to preach. His ministry was hindered. The testimony that the Lord wanted was hindered. What can we learn from this example? Well, just in closing, when we experience the Lord's cleansing, We need to be willing to say to the Lord, now that we've said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. We need to say to the Lord, like the Apostle Paul of old, Lord, here am I. What will you have me to do? Now, it may not make sense what the Lord tells us to do, but we know that the Lord has a purpose in it. We may not understand when the Lord saves us and he says, now I want you to live a holy life. I don't want you to go back to the pub. And you might say, well, I want to go back to the pub to tell my friends. But the Lord says, no, I want you to live a holy life. And that holy life will attract their attention more than if you were trying to witness to them in a pub with a beer in your hand. You see, the Lord tells us some things as Christians that we may not understand, but the Lord has a purpose in them. Why? So that we can be the testimony that the Lord wants us to be. As we do what may not seem make sense to us, separate from the world, separate from the sin of the world, and be different, be separated unto God and live a holy life, that's when God can use us to be a testimony. And maybe some of us here this evening are allowing disobedience in our lives, and God is not able to use us. Maybe we're doing what we think is best, and maybe we're approaching witnessing as how we think it might be best. But if we don't obey the Lord, there are lost opportunities in our lives. You see, this wonderful miracle teaches us some wonderful lessons this evening. My friend, are you like this poor leper in need of a Savior? Are you in need of His redemption, His full cleansing? Let me encourage you to come to Christ this evening, to come to Him, to save you once and for all. Friends, He is there, but will you come to Him in humility and faith for salvation? Maybe, Christian, you have been cleansed, and maybe together we've been reminded, amen, of the wonderful compassion and love of Jesus Christ. Maybe the Lord has reminded you of something that He wants you to be joyful about this week and the next week, the Lord Jesus Christ and His love. Are you grateful for what He's done for you? Well, if you are, maybe the Lord would have you to thank Him this evening. Amen. And maybe like this leper, the Lord wants to use you to be a testimony in your workplace and in your community. But in order to do that, we need to follow His words. We need to follow His words. All around us there are pressures to fit in with the world, is there not? All around there are pressures to not be odd, not be different. In fact, in the world, holy is a dirty word. It is a leprous, filthy word. And it may not make sense to the world, but it makes sense to the Christian, because the Lord Jesus says, I just want you to be like me. And if you seek to be like me, I can use you as a testimony. It may not make sense to you. You may want to pick up that beer at the work function, and you don't want to stand out. And maybe you think, if I'm like one of the boys, or if I relate to them in that way, maybe they're going to hear me. Maybe I ought to dress just like the world dresses, amen. Maybe I ought to not worry about God's standards of holiness and purity, ladies. Maybe I'll just put on the tight pants, and maybe I'll just put on the high heels and the makeup just to blend into the world. Maybe I can reach them that way. The Lord says, no, I want you to be modest, ladies. I want you to reflect my holiness and purity. Men, I want you to reflect my purity. I don't want you to look like the world. I don't want you to smell like the world. I don't want you to talk like the world. And you and I may think, well, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. If I'm so different, they're not going to listen to me. In fact, the reality is the other way around. If you're like them, if you look like a leper, if you smell like a leper, they're not going to want anything that you have. Why? Because they believe in their hearts, if you're just like them, you've got nothing to offer. But if you and I are different, if we are reflecting Jesus Christ, though it may not make sense in our flesh, the Lord knows what He's doing. And as we seek to honour His word and obey Him in humility of heart, He can use us to be a testimony. He can use us. Don't be ashamed to be weird, young people, for God. Don't be ashamed to honour the Lord in purity and holiness. There was a lost opportunity here. And perhaps there are lost opportunities in our lives because of disobedience. An unwillingness to say, Lord, I know what you want me to do, but this is what I feel like doing. Let's not miss out on the opportunities he has for us. Amen. Let's be willing to not only accept his cleansing and salvation, but accept his way in the Christian life so he may use us.